Well, good morning, everyone. I hope this has been a good morning for you. Would you please turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1? And we will be reading verses 15 through 23. This was one of Paul's prayers. And in last week, we looked at verses 15 through 17, which was his prayer about spiritual wisdom and revelation, and we will continue on down through 23 today, covering two more aspects of that one prayer. If you would you please follow along with me as I read? Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the Lord, or God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the works of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Well, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word today. I am going to ask you to please be kind enough to open up your bulletin this morning. I put a bulletin stuffer in there for you. And when I was working on the message this week, I actually have a short version of the message, and that's it. And that's the short version of the message. And I'd like to glance at this first so you will know where we're going and what we will be looking at. And then we will delve in a little bit deeper as we look at the word today. Last week, we looked at the number one, the prayer request in there. It covered verses 15 through 17. And my comment to you is what was he praying for? And I don't mean to diminish this, but he wasn't praying for a better job. He wasn't praying for better clothing. He wasn't praying to help them not be poor. He wasn't praying about them having the flu. But notice what he was praying for. And now the idea is when we do pray, that isn't to diminish that. But what was Paul's focus? What was more important than those things? And he said in verses 15 through 17, spiritual wisdom. He mentioned spiritual revelation. That was a greater awareness, more information. The second thing that we will be looking at today had to do with his second part of his request, had to do for a believer to have a heart. And that would be, the heart here is a reference to their mind, their will, and their spirit. To be spiritually enlightened, so that you and I know what's going on. For the believer to know the eternal hope which God called them. We talked about the hope candle. We're looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah coming in Isaiah. They were looking for him coming. He did, first advent. Today, our hope is the second advent. So this is still our eternal hope. And for the believer to know what is a glorious inheritance that we already received in Christ. you have received the inheritance. The problem with many of us is we don't know the word well enough, and so we don't know what the inheritance is, do we? So we'll look at a little bit of that today. And so what's the enlightenment? What is it? It's the Father in heaven's eternal plan, which gives all believers eternal hope, which is the riches of the Father's glorious inheritance in the saints. The Father in heaven inherits faithful people through Jesus Christ. Faithful people inherit the Father in heaven, which was the Father in heaven's plan before the foundation of the world. This is all in context. We're still in chapter 1, aren't we? There was only two sentences. We're in the second sentence in Paul's writing. He had a lot of commas in there. So the Apostle Paul prayed that believers may find comfort and hope in knowing what the Lord is doing, causing them to be holy in his sight. And so then the third part of his prayer that we're reading here in all these verses is found in verses 19 and 20. For the believer to understand the greatness of God's power. Power here is the word dynamo or dynamis, ends in M-I-S, which is a reference to the third person of the Trinity. That is now at work within every believer. It is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated Christ at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We just read that verse in our Ephesians passage, and where did they get it from? We read it in our call to worship this morning. Russ read it. Russ read for us Psalm 110, verses 1 through 7. That's that he would be raised from the dead, and what's significant about it? That's the same promise he gives you and me. You being a faithful believer will be resurrected. And so it has to do with us trusting in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And we have five solas of the faith, and this is one of them, sola Christos. We too have been promised by the Father in heaven that on the day we die, we will be in the presence of the Lord. And so that was what the Apostle Paul prayed for his friends back in Ephesus. And Paul's prayer was for the faithful in the Lord to be encouraged and not discouraged because they would know from the word what was going on around them. That was the idea of the spiritual revelation. You're aware. You know. You now have the inside track. You know what's going on. You know what's going on because you know the word. You know the word because the third person of the Trinity is making it obvious to you. And so I wanted to do this again, and I'll mention it several times. Russ has taught us just a couple of weeks ago, faithful believers need to know the difference between cultural accommodation and confessional affirmation. Because cultural accommodation does not give people eternal hope in sola Christos. While confessional affirmation does give God's people eternal hope in sola Christos. And so I will mention it here, and we'll ask it at the end of the message also. How then should we pray for our friends and for our loved ones? These are the three things that Paul thought were very, very important. And this was his prayer for his friends and those whom he loved back in Ephesus when he sent this letter to them. I'm praying this for you. Would you follow along with me as I read Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 18, which starts the second prayer, the second aspect of this prayer. In verse 18, I'm going to read it using my rendition of dropping the pronouns and making them nouns. Verse 18, I pray, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which the Father has called you, what are the riches of the Father's glorious inheritance in the saints. So the second prayer request by the Apostle Paul is found in verse 18. For the believer to have a heart, and heart here is this. For those of you who scribble down little notes and stuff, heart, this word here, is the center of our minds. It's your thoughts. It refers to your will, your determination, and your spirit. They say, oh, that person's, they got a lazy spirit. Man, that guy, oh, they're active. They've got an active spirit. That's what it's referring to. It refers to you. So when Paul was praying, he says, I pray having the eyes of your heart enlightened so that you will know the Lord within your mind, within your thoughts, within your desires, your will, your desires, and your spirit. How active are you? And so it's to be spiritually enlightened to God's truth, God's word. We need the word. What's the concern? Well, all of us have been indoctrinated into the earth dwellers' thinking, as the Apostle Paul, or I'm sorry, the Apostle John had told us. We live in a world where people do not honor the Lord. We have been taught to think like the people of the world, who do not honor the Lord. We are daily influenced to think like the world, which is very, very self-centered. This was true in Paul's day, and guess what? It is still true today. So one of the many things we should keep in the back of our mind when we pray for our friends and loved ones is that our friends' minds, will, and spirit would be influenced by the Word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit more than the world is in their lives. Praying this way leads us and our friends to have an eternal hope found only in Jesus Christ, which we say is sola Christos, Christ alone. So for the believer to know or understand where the eternal hope comes from, we need to be in prayer for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that they may be spiritually enlightened from the Word of God by the third person of the Trinity, which leads us now to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18b, the second part of the verse, to which the Father in heaven has called you. These truths and realities are the spiritual riches that are found in the Word of God. They are a rich source for the believer, and they are not even considered by the non-believer. They encourage us, and they give us the help, the hope, the encouragement that we need as we live through each and every day. The last part of the verse says, so that what are the riches of the Father's glorious inheritance in the saints? What does that mean? Well, there's two things. The first one, the Father in heaven inherits faithful people through Jesus Christ. What are the riches of the Father's glorious inheritance in the saints? The Father in heaven inherits you because you are a faithful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We use words like the bride of Christ, the saints of the Lord. We use terms like the ecclesia or the called out ones. That's what the scripture constantly calls us, the called out ones. It means that we're called out of the realm of darkness into the realm of the kingdom of God. We're known as the holy ones. Peter talks about us as the royal priesthood. So the riches of the Father in heaven's inheritance is what? The bride of Christ. The holy people who are his possession. The second part of this phrase is also the bride of Christ. Now what? Therefore inherits the Father in heaven. as the bride, you are heaven bound, glory bound, and we have a hope to be with him in the end. This is true because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf. And all of the eternal blessings that will follow from Christ's redemptive work that is applied to you, your heart and your soul and your mind. Now we have, or we are, a part of the eternal kingdom. I constantly ask myself, do I think that way? Do I reason that way? Is that part of my thinking, my desires, my will? Do I think that way? Or how much have I been influenced by the world around me? Paul prayed that the believers would be comforted and have hope in this knowledge of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on their behalf, and all of the eternal blessings that will follow from Christ's redemptive work that is now applied to you and me. The Apostle Paul prayed for his friends and the new believers, and that they would comprehend this truth and all the blessings and all the reality that it possesses within us. You see, you and I have been redeemed. You have been redeemed. You are now in the family of God. Your surname has changed. And it's changed to with being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. The reason is I want to show you this was not just a one and off teaching. This is not a one and off idea by the Apostle Paul all by himself. I want you to see it now. This is the Apostle Peter teaching or preaching or sharing this same truth with the believers who were from Asia Minor, which you and I would call modern day Turkey. All right? No, this is Peter's letter to believers who are, and I'll say, in Turkey. And listen to the vocabulary he has talking about the same truth. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll start reading in verse 3. And I'll read down through verse 7. Peter says to people just like you and me who were in Turkey, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And verse 4 tells us to an inheritance that is imperishable, it is undefiled, and it is unfading, and it is kept in heaven for you. Who by God's power, that would be through the work of the Holy Spirit, are being guarded through faith. And for those of you who scribble down a little note, next to faith, put complete trust. Complete trust. That's verse 5. Who by God's power, that would be through the Holy Spirit, are being guarded through faith. That's complete trust for a salvation ready to be revealed at what? The last day. We call that the second advent. The second coming. Verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And I paused here and I put a note in for myself while still living in this realm. I am going to go through various trials while living still in this realm. And then I even get further information in verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, that's your complete trust, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in, and what should be upon your heart and your mind? Praise and glory and honor at the revelation, at the awareness of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You know that you have been saved. You know that you have been redeemed. You know that you have been regenerated. You know now that you are going to receive the inheritance. You have a family name written down in heaven. It is imperishable, it is undefiled, and it will not fade away. That's for you and me. We're hearing at the second advent, your life, that you will be recognized by the Father in heaven as being holy in his presence. And this will bring him glory and honor, because he has redeemed you out of the pit of despair. So the more we know about the Lord, the greater we can place our faith or complete trust in the Lord. The more you know, and I'm not just talking about accumulating information, I'm talking about now that it becomes part of your mind for information, and now part of your will and your desire within your heart. That complete trust, you're committed to it. And so these are those truths that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are speaking about to people just like you and me, who are just trying to make it through today with the many problems that test us by fire, to find out how fake your faith really is. It's testing your faith. It's getting rid of all the impurities, all the wrong thoughts that the world has taught you, that it says, this is okay. That's not bad. We talked this morning about something that happened within the churches here in New England, that they started doing something called a slippery slope. And it had to do with infant baptism. But the point being is it became a problem within the fellowships up here in New England. And it was, why? Because they were trying to be more conscious of what was going on in the world than following the word. Was that done intentionally of saying, oh, I'm going to be disobedient? Well, no. But it becomes that slippery slope, and that you and I need to realize that your hope, my hope, is in our inheritance, and we need to stick with the truth. Again, I will read that passage. It's Ephesians 1:18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart's enlightenment, that is the center of your mind, your thoughts, your will, and your spirit, so that you may know what is the hope to which the Father has called you, and what are the riches of the Father's glorious inheritance in you. You are now part of his inheritance because you're the bride of Christ. You're in his family. Now you have inherited all of his family's blessings. Notice now what verse 19 tells us. This is the third part of the prayer that Paul has. And I will read the verses and I will remove all of the pronouns again. It's Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 19, and I will read down through verse 23. And I also pray, what is the immeasurable greatness of the Father's power towards us who believe, according to the working of the Father's great might, that the Father worked in Christ when the Father raised Christ from the dead and seated Christ at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, first advent, but also in the one to come, which is the second advent, the new heavens and the new earth. And for those who want the verses, it's 2 Peter 3:13. And so as verse 22 goes on to say, and the Father put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. Our third prayer request in these two verses, in verses 19 and 20, is for the believer to understand the greatness of God's power. Do you and I have a good grasp of the power of God that is working in your life? The word power there is dynamis, D-Y-N-A-M-I-S. We in English say dynamo, which we get dynamite from. And it means a powerful, mighty force. So we're talking about that powerful, mighty force that is now working within us. I'm going to ask you now to use some biblical theology. What force is now working in your life? Yes, the third person of the Trinity. He is the Didymus or dynamo that is now working in you, so that you will learn more, comprehend more, as I understand, and have a greater faith, a deeper faith, a faith that is totally committed and totally trusting in God's word. That is what he's talking about. For the believer to understand the greatness of God's power. It is now the same thing as the Holy Spirit working in you every single moment. He doesn't come today, leave tomorrow, show up a week from now. No, he's with you all the time. So what does that mean for you and me? If you and I have trusted in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, sola Christos, we too have been promised by the Father in heaven, on the day we die, we will be in his presence. That was the Apostle Paul's prayer for his friends back in Ephesus. Paul's prayer was for the faithful in the Lord to be encouraged and not discouraged, because they would know from the Word of God what was going on around them. They were aware. They were aware of the testing by fire. They were aware of who they were and their standing, that now they are a family member. They're not on the outside hoping to get in. They are on the inside. And there's an old phrase that many of us use, the already but not yet. We are already transferred into the kingdom of God, but we are not yet fully there. The already, but not yet. And so this is where many of us trip and stumble. And I do not exclude myself from this, because I wrestle with this myself. I love, and it's been deep in my mind in the last couple of weeks now since Russ taught this, a couple of weeks ago, and that had to do with the faithful believers need to know the difference between cultural accommodation and confessional affirmation. I had that on the inside of that bulletin stuffer, because cultural does not give people eternal hope in sola Christos. when you are starting to use other things besides the Word of God as a standard, then you will start to be on the slippery slope. Now, it doesn't matter where that may be in your circumstance, but this is where you and I need to be conscious, knowing right from wrong, having enough of the Word of God, bathing in it, so that you will be confident to know when to say, that's a step too far. I shouldn't go there. And then you start looking into it, checking it out, seeing if it is or isn't. See, that goes back then to confessional affirmation. That means you're confessing biblical truths and you are agreeing with the biblical truths in contrast with the culture that says it's okay. And it is not. Even though it may be people who are attending a church and saying, I'm a believer, but yet what they're doing in their activities is saying something totally different. Do they need a Savior? Yes. Do we talk to them and share the gospel with them? Yes. And what do? We if we are good and we spend time in the Word, we spend time explaining or showing the truth to them so that they would no longer go along with a cultural accommodation. But they affirm the truth and they stop going along with things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Because our confession of faith does give you and I eternal hope in Christ alone. That establishes you, that anchors you, that makes you who you are supposed to be. I want to end with a passage that we looked at months and months ago because it's helpful, and it's Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I am going to read and end with this reading, and it's verses 9 through 14. And I see it significant for this reason. Paul was in Rome at the time, and he wrote the letter to the brothers and sisters in Ephesus. At the same time, when he wrote the letter, he wrote this letter to the believers in Colossae. The same person carried both letters. And I am almost under the belief that there's others that went with it. But at the same time, he explains and expands what we've been talking about just a little bit more to this family in Colossae, to something that he's been talking to brothers and sisters like you and I in the city of Ephesus. But follow along with me as I read Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read down through verses 9 through 14, and I'll do this slowly, and we can think about this, and then we'll close. And so, from the day we heard, that would have been Paul was in Rome in prison with those who were with him, we have not ceased to pray for you. And notice what he says. He's asking, this is his prayer, that you may be filled with what? The knowledge of the Father's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that was his prayer. It wasn't that they would be financially better off or get out of poverty, even though that is not a bad prayer to pray. But what is his concern? You see where he's aiming. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. No matter what circumstance you're in, you can be a godly man, a godly woman. And we do this so that we will be what? Fully pleasing to Him. That's the Father. So that we're bearing fruit in every good work, and we are, what are we doing in all this? Increasing in the knowledge of God. This is his prayer. This is the way he prayed for his friends. Verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power. That's the word didymus again. So we're it according to, and then the his there is the Holy Spirit. Glorious might. The Holy Spirit is working in you. It's his glorious might working in you so that you would understand, have spiritual wisdom, and have a greater knowledge about the God whom you say you worship and you honor. May you be strengthened with all power according to the Holy Spirit's glorious might for all, and he's talking about endurance and patience and joy, and all of this brings about giving thanks to the Father. And the Father has done something. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And so, some of us may still ask, what is the inheritance? Well, here is part of the answer, because there's more to it, but this is one of them. It's found in verses 13 and 14. This is part of your inheritance. He, that's the Father, has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us into the what? Of his beloved Son. That's the inheritance. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. You are now part of the heavenly family. You have been transferred out of the realm of darkness, Satan's realm of darkness, deception, all of his schemes, all of his lies, all of the stuff, and you have now been transferred into the kingdom of God, which gives you and I biblical truth, biblical understanding. It gives you a peace of mind, peace of heart, gives you joy within your heart, even when your life is being tested by fire, Peter says. Now, Peter didn't say this was going to be a party, but what he says is now that you have a joy because you know you have the inheritance. You belong to the kingdom of God. You're the bride of Christ. You're the called out ones. You're the holy priesthood now. That's who we are. And knowing this, as I had mentioned when I started, now knowing these handful of truths that we looked at just even for these few moments, how then should we be praying for friends and loved ones? Shall we close in prayer? Our Lord and our God, you have opened our eyes, you have informed us. My prayer now is that the Holy Spirit would make this now part of our will, part of our desires to be pleasing in your sight. To be informed is one thing. The world is informed, Father, but I know that now it has to be more than just a head full of information. It has to be heartfelt. I ask, Father, that your Spirit would bless each and every one of us today here with the encouragement, knowing that there is help, there is hope, there is encouragement, there is wisdom, and there is strength that is found only in you. And we praise you and we thank you for it all. In Christ's name.